You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, the doctors are in tonight for our live broadcast this Saturday evening, June the 28th, as we continue to talk about the situation in the Middle East. It changes nearly by the day, it seems. Coming your way tonight, Dr. Kevin MacDonald is back, the retired professor of evolutionary psychology from California State University, Long Beach. He will be paired in tandem, a joint appearance with Dr. Virginia Abernathy, professor emerita of psychiatry at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. That's coming up in the next hour. But first, our friend Dr. Greg Johnson, the editor-in-chief of Countercurrents, author of, well, it would really be easier for me and quicker for me to tell you the number of books Greg hasn't written. Now, start with White Nationalist Manifesto and go from there. You will not find one that is not a page-turner. Greg, it's great to have you back tonight to cover this particular issue. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I wish we were having you on tonight to talk about more celebratory things like these dual conferences that you and I hosted. We'll touch on that a little later this hour from earlier in the month. But let me just tell you this. When Mark Weber was on last week, and I told Mark, well, I guess I told the entire audience, something that they really need to read is your article at Countercurrents, Trump, Israel, Iran, and My Red Line, and then also Spencer Quinn earlier this week, They Could Do It to Us. I think these are the two best written pieces I have into contact with regards to this issue. They both really capture my present thinking on this matter. Let's start there, Greg. I mean, we know what we're talking about. How are you processing it, and how should white advocates be processing it?
Well, it's a huge disappointment to see Trump basically walked like a dog by Netanyahu. There were a lot of things.
Did you really
that he
expect anything
promised.
Else, though? You know, Greg, did you really expect anything else?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, I think we were all praying that we could somehow magically get America First policies out of an Israel First president. And we were all praying that whenever they were buttering up Netanyahu and hailing and amening everything coming out of Israel, that they were being insincere. That's the best we can hope for, right? And I think that's what I was definitely hoping, that he would find some way of not having a war with Iran. And so I was very, very disappointed. But I think it's important to understand where our red lines are. People talk about red lines in the sand and things like that. For me, it was always pretty much a given that Trump was going to be doing Israel's bidding and holding their coat while they were committing atrocities in Gaza and stuff like that, and writing out checks to cover that. It's horrible, but I accepted that that's probably what was going to be the case, because this last election wasn't a referendum on Jewish power. The Jews had their guys running in both major parties, and there was really no option to vote against Jewish power. That's how they rule, basically. You can have all the... Yeah, exactly. You can have all the differences in the world on unimportant things to them, but on the most important things, everyone's in lockstep with Jewish interests. And wouldn't it be nice if America's two political parties were as rock solid and lockstep in their concern with American security and American interests as they are with the interests of that foreign country? But that wasn't on the ballot. What was on the ballot for me in the recent election was getting control of the border, and that really means getting America's future back as a white country. That's what I was hoping for Trump to do. And I was really resigned to a lot of unpleasant stuff coming out of the Middle East. But a war it was certainly not what I expected and certainly not what most people wanted. And yet at the same time, I didn't elect him on foreign policy issues. I elected him on immigration. And my main objection to a war, aside from just the intrinsic evil of the whole thing and the unseemliness of America fighting a war for another country's interests, is that I thought it would be a disastrous distraction from his immigration agenda. In the short term, that's the case. He only has so much political capital. There are only so many hours in a day. And if he's carrying water for Israel, he's not dealing with basically deportations. And then let's turn the dial to remigration and denaturalization even. Those are the things I wanted to see. And then in the longer term, when the midterms come around, there could be a real backlash against the Republicans, and Trump could be a dead duck, a lame duck. Let's say a dead duck for the last 2 years of his presidency and not moving our immigration agenda forward. So this is my big, why I think this was a terrible thing. Aside from the war itself, I think it's terrible for Trump's immigration agenda, which is my immigration agenda. And really, I think it's the only hope that America could be salvaged as a white homeland.
We're going to talk with Greg more as this hour continues to develop about where he thinks this thing is going to be going. I don't think anybody believes that it's over and settled and done with. Why has it stopped after 12 days or been put on pause? We'll discuss that, and nobody knows for sure. Anybody who tells you they do know is lying to you, but we'll offer some opinion on that at the very least. But Greg, one of the things I really loved about your piece that we just mentioned, along with the attendant piece by Spencer J. Quinn, both at counter-currents.com, be sure to check them out, is it was reasoned, it was calm, cool, and collected, and it was balanced. And so I would ask you, I mean, certainly the more time and energy and effort that is spent on this issue, the worse it's going to be for us. But do you believe that at this point, even as we sit here this evening, that this has been a silver bullet that undoes all of the good, and there has been substantially good things that have come from the Trump administration? Does this wipe all that off the board, in your opinion?
No, not at all. It doesn't wipe it out in terms of my own estimation of the man and what he's accomplished. It could, however, wipe it out politically speaking if his party is wiped out in the midterms.
That's a lifeline to the Democrats. Definitely a lifeline to the Democrats that they were listless and leaderless and just backpedaling on every turn. This definitely gives them something they can latch on to as the anti-war party. It won't be sincere.
Absolutely.
Kamala would have done nothing different, but it does help them politically.
Absolutely. And that's another thing we need to keep in mind. Yeah.
Go ahead, Greg. I
don't think this would have been fundamentally different with Kamala in the White House. Frankly, it seems very clear that the Israelis are planning this for a very long time, probably before the election. And I don't think their plans would have changed one bit if she had been in the White House. So I do think that's important to keep in mind. But beyond that, this could prevent Trump from institutionalizing, in terms of legislation, a lot of the things that he's been doing simply in terms of executive orders. And that's very, very important. We need to get this written into law. We need to get legal objections overturned and so forth. And, of course, beyond that, we need to keep him and his party, and then after him, other people who have the same agenda in office. And that's where I think things are most endangered now in the long term. So, yeah, I do think this is a very bad thing. Trump could have undone all the good that he's done by this stupid move. Really, what's happened now, I think, is Trump's future and America's future is being held hostage by people who are deeply, primarily interested in foreign policy and are opposed to war entirely.
Jews and Judeophiles.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I said Jews and Judeophiles. That's you said.
Well, no, I think
for a long time.
Absolutely.
Clean break memorandum in 1995. They asked for
regime
change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, I do think that Trump's agenda is really being held hostage by people who are very opposed to war and are not looking at who think that this is their red line, basically. And there are a lot of people who fit that description. I think Scott Greer was the one who made this point quite nicely, worth stealing, on X, that if you look at these bro podcasters like Theo Vaughn and, of course, Joe Rogan, they brought a lot of people over at the last minute to vote for Trump. There's no question about it. Also, Trump had a huge lead among voters who had not voted in the previous election, who voted this time. That's where his margin came from.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And this, and him being a Republican who was, by his own words, an anti-war Republican, definitely helped him on these margins. We'll be right back with the great Greg Johnson, Countercurrents. Stay tuned.
God tells us in Hebrews 10:25 that we should gather together to worship him. This isn't a request. It is a command. Going to church isn't an option. It is your Christian duty. With the hellish apostasy of mainstream churches, attending church these days can be difficult. That is why your King James Only traditional services in the ancient church of St. Mary Magdalene are live, online, and I invite you to gather with our congregation to study God's holy word. Join us every Sunday at thetemplarchurch.com and especially on the first Sunday of the month for Holy Communion. This do in remembrance of me is also a command that all Christians must obey. I'm Reverend Jim Dowson, ordained Puritan minister, nationalist, and a veteran pro-life campaigner. Tune in to my weekly sermons at thetemplarchurch.com. Based in Ireland, this old-time religion is the faith that built America. God bless you.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Countries of war.
It's Miss America in your bird parks.
Why Albania?
Because.
Well, they have to have something we want.
Well, I'm sure they
do. What do we have that they want?
Freedom.
Well, why would they want that?
Oppress?
No. Fuck freedom. They wanna destroy the godless Satan of the United. They wanna destroy our way of life, all right? Okay. The president is in China. He is dealing with the dispatch of the B-3 bomber to Albania. Why? Why? Help me.
Well, I mean, what he... Well, that's...
Well, all right. Let's see, geopolitically, if you...
We just found out they have the bomb. We just found out they have the bomb.
That's good.
And... Wait a second. No, the bomb's not there because they'd have to have a rocket and that shit, right? And they are a bunch of wogs. No. Cross out. All right. So it's a suitcase bomb.
I didn't even know I said that.
It's a suitcase bomb. You don't need missiles.
You can put a bomb in a suitcase, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a suitcase bomb.
Suitcase bomb? Yes? It's a suitcase bomb. When it's cooking, it's cooking. We're cooking, and it's in Canada. All right? Albanian terrorists have placed a suitcase bomb in Canada in an attempt to infiltrate the bomb into the USA.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's good. That's terrific. And I'll tell you why. It is cost effective.
So I wonder how much things like this is actually how it is. This is a fantastic movie. One of my favorites. Came out in 1997. Wag the Dog, directed by Barry Levinson, a screenplay by David Mamet and Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman should have won an Academy Award for this performance.
A lot of good Southern Baptists in that.
It group, is world-class character acting. But in the movie, the administration hires a spin doctor and a Hollywood producer to come up with this narrative of a war to get a sex scandal off the news right before the election. And so it's instructive, and I think there are some parallels to what's going on here now, and well, you just heard them cooking up the story there. What we don't know, Greg, is we don't know anything. I mean, there is no propaganda like war propaganda. I mean, there is nothing like it. So you're, by the way,
it's all deception.
I should mention, yeah, it's all deception, which is what this movie's about. But we should mention the passing of Z-Man. Z-Man passed. I was reading his blog. I talked to him on Tuesday. This is just a terrible loss if people didn't know him. He was just an incredible blogger for our side. And he wrote, of course, that the cause of the war was the sneak attack by Israel and supported by the United States, aimed at decapitating the Iranian government, putting everything about the region aside. It was an insane act. Israel is a tiny country. Iran is a big country. So a war between the two will be lopsided. The only way it made any sense is if Israel assumed they would get help from the United States. But even then, it was a reckless attack that reeks of desperation. Rest in peace, Z-Man, and thank you for your commentary. Greg, I would just say, I mean, the thing is, you have this attack on the supposed facilities where they are supposedly having this enrichment. They're going after the bomb, according to Netanyahu. The United States media is saying they were completely destroyed. The Iranian media is saying it wasn't destroyed at all. And then you have this weird thing where the Iranians say they knew it was coming, and the Americans say they knew that the attack on the base was coming. And it's just, and then all of a sudden you have this ceasefire. Do you think it's what's really happening is that Iran was a little bit stronger, that decapitation strike didn't work as Netanyahu thought it might, and a lot of these things were getting through the so-called Iron Dome? What do you think is really going on?
Well, I think that obviously the Israelis failed. I think they failed in their attempt to destroy Iran's military and government. Iran apparently has a fairly deep bench of highly committed people who could move forward and take over the positions of people that were killed. It's a country of 90 million people. They have a lot more depth in terms of population than Israel does. So I thought that was an extremely interesting and surprising and good reaction. How many American colonels would step up to be generals if their, you know, superiors just got vaporized by some foreign attack? I don't know if they would have the guts to do that, frankly. But the Iranians seem to have been able to do it, and they seem to have bounced back. As a friend of mine said, you know, it's not whether you avoid getting hit in a war. Everyone gets hit. It's the question of how well you continue after you get hit. And the Iranians got hit hard at the beginning, and they took it in stride and bounced back. The Israelis, however, they don't have as much, they're highly neurotic people, let's put it that way. And they were quite hysterical and glass-jawed when a few missiles got through. With Jews, there's a kind of multiplier effect in their neuroticism. A small objective cause will be magnified into something enormous just because they tend to be neurotic. And so the Iranians didn't need to hit them back all that objectively hard to really destabilize them. So my sense is that they were clearly betting that the United States would come in on their side. There's no question about it, that they could leverage the United States in. I don't think the United States wanted to get in, frankly. I think Trump's response to this was kind of desultory. I mean, he did something. But I think that maybe Trump, if his thinking was unsettled on this at all, the fact that the Iranians seem to survive this decapitation strike, I think that might have cooled America's jets down a little bit. It made them realize that this is going to be a more formidable enemy. And so I think the whole thing is sort of folded from that point on. I don't know if it's over yet. The Israelis will continue to do things. It's not like ceasefires and promises mean anything to them. But everyone's declaring victory at this point, which I think is hilarious. I just think people want to get beyond this and get past this. And I think the Israelis may want to get past this too. That seems to be my feeling. And now there's talk of America giving all kinds of aid to Iran. All of this is quite bizarre. And
it is.
Yeah. And then the tit for tat reprisals where it was all just sort of it was like a gentlemanly game where they warned each other of the attacks. What's going on here?
I've never seen anything like it. Yeah.
I have a modern proposal, okay? This is what I think has really happened. I think the whole game was premised on Netanyahu getting America to bite and bite hard and to basically take over a war of conquest for them against Iran. It's the last domino in the clean break memorandum that came out, under Wolfowitz and Ledeen and Fife back in the Clinton State Department. And, it's really gone amazingly well for the Israelis and very badly for all of the Muslim countries around there. But I think Trump didn't want to fight this war. He wasn't resigned to fighting the war. He thought he could outsmart Netanyahu and get Netanyahu to say, the reason is this nuclear threat. Well, I'm going to take care of the nuclear threat, and then that takes care of the war. And Netanyahu said, "Oh no, don't let that." And now he has been checkmated by Trump, and he can't. He knows he's not going to get a full fledged war out of it. So really, he doesn't know what he's.
Greg is nailing it tonight. I don't know what it is about this issue, but everyone we've brought on to address it, to Mark Weber, David Duke, Greg Johnson tonight, and this will continue for at least a couple of more weeks, have been at the absolute top of their game. Just to recap, though, as you know, in less than 2 weeks, we watched Israel begin the war, Iran forcefully retaliate. The United States become actively engaged, and then Trump abruptly declared this permanent ceasefire, an astonishing turn of events in such a short amount of time. And that brings me to this question, Greg. I mean, there's just a lot of difference of opinion on our side about what's going on here. Is Trump totally controlled by the Jews? Is he a Jew himself? Is he exasperated?
Is he checkmating the Jews?
Is he exasperated by the Jews? I mean, I tend to agree with you that, I mean, if this was a war that they wanted, America could certainly have gone in harder and longer than they did, and this may be just a case of Israel retooling because Iran hit them harder than they expected. We don't know, but I'd like to believe that there is some part of Trump that is pushing back about this because this will ruin him politically. Now, people will say, well, he doesn't care. He's just a tool of them. I don't know about that. I wouldn't bet my life on it, Greg.
No, nor would I. My sense is this, and again, this is all we can do. We turn on our TVs and we see all of our elected officials standing with Israel and pledging fealty to Israel and standing by Israeli flags and so on and so forth. And you look at this and you think, our only hope is that some of these people are insincere. I hate to be in such a powerless position, but that's the position we're in. Our only hope is that some of these people are insincere and that they actually would like to do what's right for America. That's what we got to hope for. Now,
well, you've seen a break in the dam with, of course, Thomas Massie, but now, astonishingly, Marjorie Taylor Greene with Tucker. I mean, you are seeing some breaks in the dam that I think are pretty profound. If you don't mind that interruption,
absolutely. No, we.
I
and
think
I
what's
think,
happening.
Okay,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think. Let me just say this quick. I think we got for our movement from our point of view, we have the best possible outcome if this is the end of the war, or at least the end of America's involvement in this. If we had a brief war that really didn't suck the country in, it didn't get us into regime change territory, but at the same time made Jewish influence absolutely central and undeniable to everybody who's paying attention, that's a great outcome.
There you go. That is a great thing for people to ponder as we head into this bottom of the hour break. Greg Johnson, Counter Currents. Stay tuned.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Israeli military says it has killed one of the founders of Hamas. Hakim Muhammad Issa al-Dissa was taken out in an airstrike yesterday. He was known as the orchestrator of the October 7th attack in Israel. The battle continues on Capitol Hill. Here's correspondent Donna Warder.
The Senate is expected to work through the weekend to meet President Donald Trump's July 4th deadline of passing his tax breaks and spending cuts package. There's been Democratic opposition, and not all Republicans are on board, with proposals to reduce spending on Medicaid, food stamps, and other programs. The 940-page bill was released just before midnight Friday. Even with a go-ahead to begin debate on the legislation, any passage would still be days away. Then the bill would need to return to the House for a final round of votes before it could reach Trump's desk. Donna Warder, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, Republican Conference Chair Lisa McClain says President Trump made a definitive move toward ending Iran's nuclear capabilities.
Iran will never be allowed to attain a nuclear weapon. And if Iran continues to try to go down this path, prepare to face the full fury and wrath of American firepower.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says President Trump handled the attack on Iran's nuclear program absolutely the correct way.
But the president didn't just take that strong and decisive action. Under the War Powers Resolution, in compliance with that law, he notified Congress within 48 hours of the actions that were taken. And hopefully that's as far as it's going to go. The president announced that there is now a ceasefire.
British authorities seizing 2.5 metric tons of cocaine that in a ship arriving in England from Panama. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Big news. Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange. And millions like you are joining our news revolution. Newsmax is now the fourth highest rated news channel, just behind CNN. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in America. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for shows with Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Rob Finnerty, and more. So download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV and start watching. President Trump says Newsmax is truly terrific. Get the free Newsmax app and check out Newsmax shares on the stock exchange. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such an offer would be unlawful.
Hey, y'all! Do you enjoy great-tasting coffee but are tired of supporting companies that hate you? If so, let me tell you about Above Time Coffee. Above Time Coffee is a privately owned and operated small business. They hand roast coffee and ship it to customers throughout the United States and abroad. Above Time Coffee was launched because they saw a need for more pro-white businesses serving our people. The time has come to take our own side. And did I mention their coffee tastes great? It's the best coffee I've ever tasted. When James brought home a sample from a conference, I was hooked and threw out all the other brands. I think you will too after you make an order at AboveTimeCoffee.com. Living a healthy and active lifestyle is important to us, and I appreciate the effort Above Time Coffee invests in keeping its products organic. And there are so many flavors to choose from. Check it out for yourself by visiting AboveTimeCoffee.com. It's the only coffee we drink at the Edwards home. Delicious coffee, a company that serves the interests of our people. Check out their selection today at AboveTimeCoffee.com.
The Occidental Quarterly is a journal for people who dare to think for themselves and refuse to accept the current liberal orthodoxies and media-fueled delusions. Edited by Dr. Kevin McDonald, TOQ fearlessly discusses race, culture, the future of the Western world, and other subjects that our enemies consider taboo and want to outlaw. TOQ writers give no quarter to political correctness or other modern methods of suppression. Four times a year, right to your mailbox, TOQ delivers thoughtful analysis and commentary on current events, new perspectives on history, interviews, reviews of important books, and so much more. Do you have the courage to subscribe to the next four issues of TOQ for just $60 per year? If so, you can subscribe today by visiting www.toqonline.com. You might be surprised how much you already agree with our fearless contributors. Subscribe to the Occidental Quarterly, edited by Kevin McDonald, today at www.toqonline.com.
The president's going to go to war with Albania in about 30 minutes.
You're declaring war in Albania?
No, we're not declaring war. We're going to war. We haven't declared war since the Second World War.
We're going to war.
We're going to war.
We're going to war.
Going to war.
This late breaking news just in from Air Force One. The President of the United States has said that he apologizes for the need for secrecy, and he assures that it is necessary for the safety of the men and women in combat. He says that the Republic of Albania, long a staging ground for terrorism around the world, he is mentioning that a state of war is or is about to happen between the United States and the Republic of Albania.
All right, so now you get it, I think, a little bit more, folks. This is a movie that I would assign as homework for everyone. Just, it's a fun movie. Great acting, quick script. It's briskly paced.
Just as cynical as it needs to be.
Well, it's very good, and I don't think even white nationalists would find fault in the premise of it. And you can get it for, I think, $3 on YouTube. Check it out. Anyway, a lot more ground to cover tonight with Dr. Greg Johnson, who's with us for the remainder of this hour. Keith, a quick word to you, and then toss it over to our featured guest.
Okay, I think there's a very real possibility that Trump has outsmarted everybody. He doesn't like being told what to do by Netanyahu. But he likewise doesn't want to be told what to do by neocons or white nationalists over here or anyone else. And he's figured out a way to solve Rubik's Cube on this, which is to do what the Israelis have been complaining about since 1992, and that's that Iran is hours away from creating a nuclear weapon. Well, if that's it, I'll take care of the nuclear weapon, and then there won't be any more problems.
Although, except Iran is saying they didn't get it at all. America's saying they did.
On the other hand, but if we don't really care what the chattering classes say, we're not interested in winning that argument. What we're interested in doing is having no more war. And it looks like Netanyahu's about all to get tied up in a big trial now that's going to take up a lot of his time and energy, and maybe, just maybe, this thing's going to work.
That's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is Israel was bit off more than they expected from Iran, and they told Trump to hold off for a minute while they recalibrate. Greg, back to you. Geopolitically speaking, long-term thinking, share with us more observations and takeaways that you have from the last couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, like I was saying, just from our point of view, as a white American nationalist, the best case scenario is that this is over, and that Jewish influence is massively exposed. One of my favorite things on X was a collage of all the posts, the tweets, whatever, from Congress people saying, "I stand with Israel. I stand with Israel."
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
It was hundreds of them. And the caption was, "Well, we finally got the Epstein list, you know, or the Epstein list just dropped." I thought that was beautiful, but they're all controlled. They all are, you know, like a bunch of trained seals barking out the same Israeli talking points, and everyone's seeing this. More people than ever are seeing this. This is very unpopular. Most Americans don't want this. Israel is in the doghouse in the eyes of many Americans. And therefore, the difference between what the people want and what their government is doing couldn't be more marked right now. This is huge. We want to be able to show that our government is really not beholden to American interests. And this is a great teachable moment. So I think that we need to make a lot of hay out of this. We need to pray that the whole thing is over, that there's not going to be a phase two or phase three of this as the Israelis try and drag us in. All these neocon types, these people like Lindsey Graham, as soon as the bombs were dropped, they started saying, "We need regime change." Sorry, but that was obviously what the Israelis wanted. I don't think that that's what Trump wants. I don't think that
Trump knows that his entire agenda is going to be sidetracked for this war. If the war happens.
This again.
Netanyahu wants
and there
it.
Is no consensus even amongst our friends on Trump's level of complicity or pushback against it. But again, Greg, as we were mentioning, he has achieved significant victories for his supporters, freeing the J6 hostages, reversing discrimination against whites, dramatically reducing illegal immigration, almost down to zero deportations. We need more of that. But we did get a Supreme Court win this week. We'll see where that goes. There is other news beside this, although this has sucked the air out of every other issue for the time being. Hopefully we can move on with it within the next couple of weeks. But and you said that this does not erase his gains off of the board, but we need to move on from this. But I would ask you this, Greg. This is just an aside, but do you find it odd that a president can unilaterally bomb another sovereign country but must seek permission from all 677 federal judges before he can deport an illegal alien?
Yeah, that's putting it quite nicely. Yeah, we can maybe we should just declare all these illegal aliens to be Iranian agents.
And bomb them.
Anyway, yeah. I noticed that, but continue on with your commentary, my friend.
Yeah, they're all mullahs now, exactly. So
we're decapitating another enemy.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this is I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think any of us really know. I am kind of sort of spooked. I've been reading a lot, trying to figure out what's going to happen next. But all the parties seem to want to declare victory and stop this. If the Israelis wanted to escalate this, they'd be screaming for escalation right now. They're not screaming for that. I don't know. I think maybe even Lindsey Graham has managed to calm down. So whatever's
going on. Who was the guy
on
in Vietnam, Greg, that said to Lyndon Johnson, Johnson said, how do we get out of this war? And he said, let's declare victory and get the hell out.
Well, that's another thing Greg brought up. Everybody's declaring victory. This has to be, Greg, you and I are contemporaries. Nearly the same age, been around for a couple of decades doing this professionally. I've never seen a story like this. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
Everybody's declaring victory. It's bizarre.
And the big question is who won? The United States.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well, the United States dropped a lot of bombs, et cetera, but we didn't have any casualties. So we didn't lose anything. Israel got really wrecked, frankly. And like I said, even a little bit of pushback for them is multiplied into another Shoah. Just psychologically speaking, Iran, I think, is the big winner here. I think they're the big winner. Why?
Now.
Because they avoided a war, it seems, and time is on their side. The United States is declining as a global power. I don't think there's any question about that. And Israel's favorability ratings in the United States are declining. And when the United States is no longer Israel's reliable golem, Israel is going to be in a real mess. And I think that this war was being ginned up basically in a somewhat desperate and slapdash and hasty way because people like Netanyahu, the guy who...
The time was running out.
Their time is running out. They're looking at the opinion polls. They're looking at the aging of the baby boom generation and those who are older than them.
Yes.
And they're seeing that time is not on their side, whereas time is on Iran's side, I think. And that means that if the Iranians can just stave off destruction, stave off regime change for the next 20 years or so, they're not going to have to worry about this. And it is a really interesting question what the Israelis are going to do when the United
Excellent
States
commentary.
Isn't their global when the United States isn't their global sponsor. David Zudi,
and I don't know that anyone else is stepping up to take America's place.
Nobody. No, they're not going to do that. And this is exactly why I had to have. I said, Greg, I gotta have you for this show tonight. This is the commentary I was exactly hoping for. He is nailing it. Yes, I mean, and we mentioned Bibi Netanyahu was shopping this since the Obama administration, trying to go into this war. He's getting older. The kind of people who would support something like this are getting older and dying out. The generation coming up is not for this at all. And the time was now. And then, of course, there was, you know, he's involved in this scandal over there. But the Iron Dome was fake news. I mean, the Knesset had to pass this law making it illegal to even show what was actually happening over there. This didn't go their way. They didn't get their way for the first time in a long time. And then anyway, I mean, we'll see where it goes. But I think, as you said, I mean, you're nailing it in so much as time is on the side of the righteous on this one.
Yeah, yeah. There are a couple things that might happen in the longer term. David Zutty suggested that maybe there will be an Israeli pivot towards Eurasia. As America and Europe become no longer reliable sponsors and allies, they might just try and pivot towards Russia and China. That would be kind of a strange thing because they'd be sort of snuggled up under the umbrella.
Russia and China aren't about to cozy up with them, though. At least that's what I've seen so far on this. They say thanks, but no thanks.
It's also clear that the United States really is trying to reposition itself in a kind of fortress North America posture and be less entangled in other parts of the world.
The Monroe Doctrine.
We'll be right back. Counter-currents.com.
It is common for politicians, major media outlets, and nonprofits to hype white on black murders aggressively, or even claim that blacks are living in fear of white people.
Lynched for simply being black. Hard to believe, but that's what was done. And some people still want to do that.
This is why National Conservative launched the Interracial Homicide Tracking Project. We have now documented well over 2,000 confirmed interracial homicides since January 2023, and created the most comprehensive overview of these killings anyone has ever made. We plug the gaping holes in data left by other homicide trackers and government crime stats. Rather than engaging in hyperbole and vitriolic rhetoric like everyone else, we are simply creating a massive sample size of empirical evidence so people can form rational and informed opinions about a sensitive and politically charged issue. Visit natcon.life. natcon.life.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
We show, and NSA confirms, there are no nuclear devices on the Canadian border. There are no nuclear devices in Albania. Albania has no nuclear capacity. Our spy satellites show no secret terrorist training camps in the Albanian hinterland. The Border Patrol, the FBI, the RCMP report no untoward activity along our picturesque Canadian border. The Albanian government is screaming its defense. The world is listening. There is no war.
Of course there's a war. I'm watching it on television.
Well, it's a great movie about the manipulation of the media to push a narrative. It's something I watched it again. I've always loved this movie. I watched it again this week. You should watch it. Wag the dog. But, you know, and interestingly, Greg, to the extent that the media was able to manipulate or has been able to manipulate so many things that were untrue to present them as believable to a wide swath of the population, this hasn't necessarily been the case, except for, you know, maybe the Fox News demographic, and that is, unfortunately, a substantial demographic of the Trump coalition. But outside of that, it's just not working this time, and I don't think it worked for Israel.
I think that the real group is not the boomers, okay? It's the Christian fundamentalists that stuff. Well, they're the ones. But on the other hand, that cohort is dying within Christian fundamentalism.
Well, and Boomer, I know you get upset anytime. Yeah, Boomers, they didn't do anything.
Well, they didn't.
Neither did my generation. It's okay. But anyway,
there's no book about the secret protocols of the elders of Boomerism.
All right. Okay. But anyway, so Greg, this whole thing seems to be changing and changing in our favor.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty optimistic about it. Let me tell you, I was losing a lot of sleep over this because I thought,
oh yeah,
this could be the end for all the good things that Trump is trying to do. And
he knows it.
I'm just hoping that this is his last foreign adventure and that he can buckle down. And that things will get better, measurably better. This is why it's so important to get the shock therapy stuff out of the way quickly. And by that, I mean stuff like the tariff stuff. If he had just left the tariff stuff aside and didn't do anything about it, I'd be perfectly happy just to calm people down about the economy and just focus laser-like on immigration and deportation. If he can produce measurable results by the midterms, it's not going to matter. If millions of illegals have self-deported by midterms, there's going to be immediate measurable increases in wages for white Americans. The streets will be less crowded. There'll be less crime. There'll be less ugliness, and rents will be lower. And people will remember that. And this is why the left is so frenzied at stopping any deportations whatsoever. They know that if we just get a little bit of this, if we just get a little bit of relief, that there will be immediate positive results and that will argue for more. And we'll get addicted to this. And then we'll start saying, okay, well, we've gotten rid of 20 million illegals. Why not 20 million more, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and again, if we can move off of this quickly, we can get back to, I'll tell you, it was interesting because I remember this conversation. You and I were on the phone back in late January, early February. We were talking about you were having a conference. I was having a conference, and it looked like the dates may conflict. And we had to move our conference from Father's Day weekend, which was, of course, 2 weeks ago. And we had to move it up because Father's Day, we didn't know it was Father's Day. It was going to be a conflict, and I thought that would depress.
We'd had a totally different conference if that had happened.
If we'd have had it on Father's Day, it would have depressed attendance because a lot of people wouldn't have come because of Father's Day. But, yes, I mean, you know, it actually worked out well in so much as this would have been a black cloud hanging over the event that we had if we had had it that weekend with Trump, you know, getting ready to drop these bombs. Now, if we can move on from this quickly, we can go back to the feel-good status
That's all going to depend on Netanyahu, though. Netanyahu is the one who is really charge of the
I don't know about that because if he is, he didn't get what he wanted. I mean, there's no way you could argue that Israel won this thing and that they cleared their objective. I mean, would you say, Greg? I don't think so.
He doesn't give up that easily.
Well, I understand he may want to come back and he wants America to do more and Trump to do more. But you can't say that in that 12-day period that Israel accomplished something and it's settled and done.
It's a big flop.
Let's let Greg answer.
I don't think they got what they wanted. It is kind of hard to imagine Trump just giving Netanyahu a hard, flat no. But I kind of think that he's also done that or the equivalent of that. Let's hope. Again, all we can do is hope that they're insincere about loving Israel more than America. That's all we can hope. But I think we've got some room for hope here, and I really want him to get back on the immigration agenda.
Got to get
back
again, to it.
Yeah, if we have measurable improvements in people's lives by the midterms, he's still going to be in play until the end of this second term, and he can get a lot more essential stuff into law and set things up for Vance in 2028. And I think Vance would probably be a good person to continue.
I don't disagree. And here's the thing, and I got to say this to be clear. I mean, by the way, Greg kicked off a movement quadruple crown victory for Mark Weber this week. Greg posted at countercurrents.com, hyphen between the two words, if you please, Mark Weber's speech at our conference, the aforementioned conference a month ago, and it was entitled Our People Are America, Looking Beyond Trump. And from Countercurrents, it was reposted at Kevin's website, The Occidental Observer. Kevin's up next. Then also Occidental Dissent. And Ron Unz put it as the top featured article.
Yeah, last but not least.
Well, I mean, this was something that really covers all the bases. It's looking at this very objectively. That's one of the reasons I wanted Mark to speak at that conference. And Mark's been with us the last 2 weeks. But, I mean, you know, we all understand that Trump is not the terminus. We understand that America, taking America back, making America great again, you can't do that in a multiracial democracy. It's never going to work. But we look at Trump transactionally. What can we get from him? Dismissing him, wishing that Kamala had won, that is foolhardy.
He's a lot better than Ronald Reagan.
Well, I mean, there have been some good things that have happened. I mean, the three of us agree on that. Now, I would say this. I want to go back to this very quickly. We're running out of time. This was an article that appeared in the Tehran Times. He said, how can you trust the Tehran Times? How can you trust the Times of Israel or the New York Times? But this is it. Israel planned false flag operation on U.S. soil. That was actually a question I had of our guest last week. Why has this not happened already? Well, according to Tehran Times, information obtained by the Tehran Times shows that Israel was plotting to carry out an explosion on U.S. soil and subsequently blaming Iran with the apparent aim of instigating a full-scale war between the United States and Iran. The plan involved orchestrating a destructive event within the United States and fabricating evidence to implicate
USS Liberty.
Thereby manipulating American public opinion and prompting military action. Iran uncovered the Israeli plot through information shared by a friendly nation. Upon learning of the potential attack, Iranians sent message to U.S. officials and prevented the planned explosion from occurring. Believe it, don't believe it. That's what's being reported in Iranian media. Greg, I want to thank you again for being so spot on. We have 2 minutes remaining. Everyone, please go to, I think Taki made this his catchphrase, but truly, Countercurrents is intellectual caviar for our movement. I go there every day. Always enjoy seeing Greg at events and having him on the program. He's a good friend. Greg, the last 2 minutes are yours. Take them in any direction you wish.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be on the show. I enjoy both of you a whole lot. And I'm going to stick around and hear what Kevin McDonald and Virginia Abernathy have to say. I thought the Mark Weber speech was a fantastic speech, and I just want to emphasize that my thinking on this is basically plan A and plan B. As an American, I feel that I am obligated to have plan A be to fix America. However, I'm a realist about a lot of things, and I saw that might not be able to happen, especially with this, if we got a bigger war than we ended up with. Plan B is what is the post-American option, because although I am not particularly bullish on saving America, I mean, the chances are against it, I am very, very optimistic about white people in North America having a future for ourselves. And that's something that it's just an immovable belief that I have, that one way or the other, we're going to have a homeland here in North America. But I really do hope that Donald Trump can get back on the deportations and border stuff and then move to remigration, not just the illegals, but the people who are here legally. And that involves denaturalizing people. And that has been an important idea that has suddenly been in mainstream discussions because of this
We've got to do what you're saying there. We've got to not say that, well, that battle was passed. We can't revisit it. We can revisit everything and change everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. The only limits we face are, the limits of our own imagination and will. When it comes to politics, this is all social constructs, and we can unravel these bad decisions. It's just a matter of will, and we have to be clever about it. But I do think that Trump is teeing things up wonderfully for us, and that, it's going to be white nationalists, though, and only white nationalists, that really restore America as a homeland for white people, because we're the only ones who want that. Trump wants to be some kind of uber civic nationalist. Yeah, yeah. But he, I think, is being an enormous help. And I think we should give him credit where credit is due.
I agree, and I still agree, even in light of the events of the last month. Greg, thanks for coming on and helping us crystallize that vision. You, Mark Weber, we got Kevin McDonald coming up, Virginia Abernathy. We got a guest in a couple of weeks who was a government contractor in Iran. We're bringing the best of the best on the program to help us sort out our thoughts. Thank you for doing so tonight, Greg. Counter-currents.com. Kevin McDonald's up next.
Thank you.